Welcome to session 609, Creating an International Consortium in the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission. My name is Phil Montgomery, and I am the chair for this session, and I'll also be one of the speakers. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. Thank you for sticking around late on Saturday, so that's good. The goal of this session is to offer an example of how archives can find common ground and work together to promote their collections for the public good despite huge hurdles of language, culture, and technical difficulties. This session explores how we envisioned a way to promote a common collection despite disparate cultures and institutions. Just to give you some background, on November 18, 1946, the United States President Harry Truman authorized the National Research Council to establish an organization to undertake a long-range study of the effects of the atomic bomb on man. The result was the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission, and throughout this talk you will hear the speakers use the acronym ABCC, and that's what it stands for, Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission. The ABCC studied the survivors of the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The studies, some of which are still ongoing, continue to have a vital role in our understanding of nuclear disasters and nuclear warfare. So today I'll introduce our participants. First is Dr. Carly Miyakawa. She is with the Royal Home for Retired Military Personnel and Museum at Brunbeek, Arnhem, is that right? In the Netherlands, and she is a visiting faculty member at the Institute of Asian Cultures at Sophia University in Tokyo, and she is manager for Gakushwin University's digital project Memory and Records in the Nuclear Era. She wears about 12 other hats, but I can't list them all. So, next is Janice Goldblum, who is an archivist with the National Academy of Sciences, where she has worked since 1973 and is busy preparing for the 150th anniversary of that institution. So any of you who have done that know what a royal pain that is. Janice will be reading a paper prepared by Daniel Barbiero, the manager for archives and records at the National Academy of Sciences. She has also worked extensively with the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission papers at the National Academy of Sciences. And I am the archivist at the Texas Medical Center Library in Houston with the John P. McGovern Historical Collections and Research Center, where I oversee about 20 collections related to the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission. This format is basically 10 minutes for each speaker. When all the speakers are finished, I will open the meeting up for questions. And after the questions, there'll be a short summation. And that's pretty much the rules. So hold your questions towards the end. With that, I think we will begin with Carly. So let me call up her paper. Okay.
Thank you very much. I'm honored to be here to share our experience with you in this project. At the beginning of my talk, I would like to mention that part of my talk is originally written by Professor Ando, who is a representative of this whole project. This paper is intending to discuss the importance of preserving records of atomic bomb victims and to propose the creation of an atomic bomb archives center. After outlining of the categories of source materials relating to atomic bomb broadly, I'd like to explain two steps how to establish an archival information network focusing on those materials kept by a number of research institutes for atomic bomb victims, both in Japan and the United States. Step one is to creating an institutional archives within each research institute, especially in the United States. And step two is setting up an atomic bomb archival center as a core of archival information network, which is too accessible to broad public. Endeavor to preserve materials concerning atomic bomb and to transit transmit them into the future is extremely important, as it is essentially in accord with the archival thought, that is, the construction of peace and democracy should be the final goal of archival science. Moreover, it must be even a responsibility of Japan as an only nation suffered from atomic bombings in warfare. However, the range of materials concerning atomic bomb is very broad, and there is also a variety of types of materials, both physically and categorically. In terms of physical types, material concerning atomic bomb may cover various objects. The Atomic Bomb Disease Institute of Nagasaki University of Graduate School of Biomedical Science, for instance, they are collections of medical specimens preserved in formalin and prepared blocks, as well as a variety of radiated objects. These physical objects can be regarded as a museum material. Secondly, a large number of archival materials, of course, including correspondence, research data, and medical records, and photographs, and films, etc., are also preserved. As a third group, the collection included books and libraries and magazines, of course. A general process to manage these various materials effectively and permanently, as well as to utilize them comprehensively, is as follows. The first stage of processing is, as shown in the left side of the slide, to arrange and describe museum materials, archival material, and library material distinctively. Different theories and methodologies of the museum science, archival science, and the library science are to be used respectively. A support of conservation science is also necessary when a serious damaged material requires restoration or conservation treatment. Then, as a second stage of processing, which is shown in the right side of the slide, fundamental and contextual data are extracted from each description of museum and archival and library materials, documented as a metadata and integrated into metadata. These contextual data can be managed and used systematically. With this database, a cross-retrieval and a comprehensive understanding of museum, archival, and library material will be possible. Idea and methodology of archival science may be useful again for extracting and documenting metadata as well as constructing this kind of database. Systematic management of museum, archival, and library material of each medical research institute for atomic bomb disasters needs to integrate different knowledge and techniques of the museum, archival, library, and conservation professions. So, step one is to create an institutional archives. Archival material kept by any medical research institute for atomic bomb disaster consists of three parts. In the core, there are so-called vital records, which usually include the records of creation of organization, records of importance decision-making, and so on. In the middle circle, there are general record relating to personnel, accounting, and other general affairs of the institute. Finally, the project records or research record of research activities are situated in the outer circle. They include project proposals, medical records, and experimental data, field survey notes, and conference papers, etc. Now, most of the scientists around us are also, of course, naturally interested in these project records. From an archival point of view, of course, the importance of vital records and general records must be stressed, because it is indispensable to learn exactly the background and the conditions of the said project in order to use project records scientifically. The way of creation and accumulation of a project records should also be revealed. When and how was the said project planned and carried out, by whom or by which section of the institute, under what policy and for what purpose? This sort of information can be called contextual information, and it is often well contained in vital and general records rather than the project record itself. In this sense, it is not too much to say that the value and usability of project records may not be guaranteed without vital and general records. In this sense, accordingly, not only project records, but also administrative records, both vital and general, must be preserved carefully as a crucial part of the institutional records, since contextual information guarantees the evidence of records, and in order to keep contextual information, archival integrity must be respected. The model called Atomic Bomb Archives Center is the final goal of this project in the future. This has two functions. The first one is a function as an information and research center for archives of the Medical Research Institute for Atomic Bomb Disaster. Each institutional archives supplies the center with the information of their own holdings so that the center may develop an integrated database system of atomic bomb archives, while the center supports each institutional archives by offering professional knowledge and techniques based on systematic studies of archival science. Second function is to play a role as a hub of a broader information network for atomic bomb-related institute both in Japan and overseas countries. Besides the Medical Research Institute mentioned above, there are so many kinds of institutions in Japan, especially in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which have been researching or collecting materials or information concerning atomic bomb disaster. They include the public archives, libraries and museums and universities and so forth. In other countries, especially in the United States, we have several key related institutions, such as National Academy of Sciences, Texas Medical Library, and so on. However, their knowledge and information should be shared together within this network to create a new network. As a result, it appears that scientific and effective preservation and the utilization of archives is often prevented. So in the ABCC activities, how records and medical specimens were created? In this slide, ABCC's supreme mission is to research on the radiation effect on human body. In the collective and systematic examination of A-bomb disasters, medical dossier, autopsy specimen, tissue sample were taken from those survivors in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. You can see in the bottom the circle. In late 1960s, after the initial operation of ABCC ended, all these samples were shipped to Armed Forces Institute of Pathology in Washington, D.C. for data processing. Another set of shipment was conducted after ABCC was reorganized in 1975 into Radiation Effect Research Foundation, we call them RERF. Administrative records were sent to headquarters of ABCC operation in Washington, D.C. These records include creation of organization, decision-making, personnel matters, and accounting, etc., which we call vital records and general records of all ABCC activities. As you have seen in the previous slide, the red dot circle shows vital records, which is now kept at the National Academy of Sciences archives. This project set the priority on this collection at the beginning. The rest of the daily administrative records among each institution and the project records and objects. So, where are those records and objects in this present situation? These are the main collection of ABCC activities in the United States and Japan. The bottom blue circle shows 25,000 items, mainly medical specimen, paraffin blocks and dossier were shipped to AFIP in 1960 and 1970s, but after extracting data, about 10,000 were given to Hiroshima University and Nagasaki University in 1974 via diplomatic route. But it is said that another half are returned to Japan previously before this the diplomatic route started in 1968, but we don't know the location anymore where it was returned. The present location of this project records are kept at FIP and Texas Medical Center Library and RRF in Hiroshima and in Nagasaki after the ABC's operation ended. Texas Medical Center Library, we will hear a talk by Philip Mongeri later, collects a wide range of private records of ABCC and RRF scientists. After 2 years of basic research within working group on ABCC collections in 2007 and 8, we are now active with this framework. This project grant is from Japan Society for the Promotion of Science for 4 years since 2009. The grant scale is about $500,000 with three programs on modern archives which relate to the Pacific War ABCC Consortium. This project is a part of the program called Memory and the Records in the Nuclear Era. Thanks for great cooperation of Daniel Barbero and Janice Goldblum in the National Academy of Sciences Archives, we started a three-year digitization project of ABCC records at NAS to create a digital archives, which is one of the core collections of the future Atomic Bomb Archival Center. We have done the research at AFIP, NAS, and Texas Medical Center Library and various Japanese institutions. This is the last year of this project. We are now in the process of preparing new grants to place all these institutional collections for public access through our consortium database. Thank you for listening. I will pass my talk to Janice. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. I'm, as Philip introduced me before, I'm reading my director Daniel Barbiero's paper, but I should be able to answer, you know, most questions about our collections if there are any. This is called Planning the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission Consortium. The records of the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission, ABCC, make up one of the largest and most used collections in the National Academy of Sciences archives, spanning the years 1945 to 1982 and covering approximately 54.5 linear feet. The records group documents the history of the NAS's decades-long study of the various health effects on survivors of the atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in August 1945. Although the NAS's ABCC collection is the major collection of records produced by the project, other ABCC and ABCC-related records do exist in other repositories, most notably of the Texas Medical Center Library in Houston and to some extent in Japan. In the midsummer of 2010, a research visit to the U.S. by Kaori Miyakawa, then of the National Institute of Japanese Literature, brought us all, Kaori, archivist Philip Montgomery of the Houston Academy of Medicine, Texas Medical Center Library, and the National Academy, into contact. Once we became aware of each other's existence, the idea quickly arose of coming up with a way to make our collections more accessible to researchers by pooling our resources. Philip had been involved with a digital archives project entailing collaboration between Rice University, the University of Maryland, and the Instituto Mora in Mexico, so it was only natural that he suggested a digital collaboration between our institutions. Philip's proposal was very attractive to us at NAS, since we had, from the beginning, wanted to make the ABCC collection accessible to an international user base. By the very nature of its content, the ABCC collection is of international interest, something that was underscored by the intense use it got by Japanese researchers in 1994-95 during the run-up to the 50th anniversary of the bombings. The collection had been processed expressly with the anniversary in mind, and the folder list was put up on the then new to us, anyway, internet. In fact, the NAS Archives web presence was created specifically to make the ABCC collection files list accessible to Japanese researchers who would, we hoped, be spared the need to come to Washington simply to find out what folders the collection contained. So the idea of forming a consortium to create a website collecting all of the ABCC-related finding aids in one place was just a natural development and expansion of what we'd already done. We readily agreed. Once we agreed that an ABCC consortium would be a good thing, we had to devise its scope and consequent features as expressed in a set of back-of-the-envelope specifications. First, and most fundamentally, the site would function as a single point of entry to as many ABCC-related finding aids as possible. At minimum, these would include the finding aids from the ABCC collections of the Academy, the Texas Medical Center Library, and the Hiroshima Peace Memorial. The finding aids of collections at other repositories would be added as well once the core collection of our own finding aids had been assembled and posted. The finding aids would have to be searched individually and collectively. In practice, this means that a search engine would have to be purchased or developed that could range across multiple finding aids maintained by multiple institutions. At least a skeleton of basic information on ABCC and the collections represented would form the core of the site's content to be added to as the scope of the site expands or as time and resources become available to allow us to sketch in the details. And of course, this information would have to appear in both English and Japanese. The original plan was just to collect the finding aids in one place, but soon an expanded view of the consortium's potential came about. The Japanese participants obtained grants from the Japan Society for the Promotion of Science as part of an archival project concerning records of the pre-war and wartime Japanese colonial and occupied territories and records pertaining to the atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Through this project, represented by Professor Masahito Ando of Gakushin University, our Japanese colleagues managed to find funding to digitize the NAS ABCC collection in its entirety, all 124 boxes worth. Having a digital version of the NAS collection on hand quickly opened up the possibility of making the entire collection web available through the consortium's site. We felt that this would provide enormous advantages, particularly for Japanese researchers who no longer would have to put up with the cost and inconvenience of making the trip to the U.S. to use the collection. Putting together a definitive hub for ABCC-related records collections with these specifications involves a number of challenges, as can easily be imagined. First is the question of common standards. Different institutions can be expected to have their finding aids residing in different format. Ours, for example, exists in two different forms, Word documents and as entries in an access database that functions as an overall finding aid for all the institution's collections. How then do we get these different finding aids to fit together in order to be made accessible from one single point of entry? We'd need to find a common standard. Once that's found, there'll be time and money involved in converting the disparate finding aids to that standard, which brings us to funding, of course. Archival projects are not and never have been the highest priority for our institution, and it's safe to say for others as well. Yet, on the positive side, much of the work on the NASN had already been done. Our ABCC collection is organized and the finding aids written. Dan wouldn't say this, but I will intersperse. It is the most processed, immaculate collection. It is just so easy to use, and I think researchers are always kind of stunned at its completeness. And he did that all himself. We also will need a host for the consortium site who will provide the servers and the IT infrastructure. Fortunately, Philip is investigating whether the TMC library can host the consortium site. A bilingual site, by definition, involves a language challenge. Fortunately, our Japanese counterparts have excellent English, a great advantage for those of us in U.S. repositories working with them. Presumably, a systematic translation project will be undertaken at some point, as all information available is made available in both English and Japanese. An expanded consortium, One going beyond the collections of the three founding institutions would entail an actuarial challenge. Simply put, obtaining records from past ABCC personnel would inevitably run up against the effects of time. ABCC was established in 1946. It's a matter of statistics that the people involved during the early years are disappearing. Thus, we'd need to contact them before time runs out or before their heirs could discard their papers. The digitization of the NAS ABCC collection raised its own set of challenges, all of them by now overcome. But they're worth mentioning since they're probably representative of the challenges facing any kind of international digitization project. Negotiations of the contracts between the NAS, the Japanese university requesting and funding the project, and the digitizing contractor was complicated by the need to translate English-level legal documents into Japanese, as well as travel entailed for review and signing of contracts and agreements. Although the process was time-consuming, in the end, English legalese was successfully rendered into Japanese legalese. The digitization itself was relatively smooth, but it did require close attention to the results with an eye toward ensuring that the digital copies were accurate and the metadata correct. Some rescanning was necessary, but the project was completed within the allotted time. Interestingly, the fact that the NAS ABCC records were inaccessible for the 3 years of digitizing was not an issue. The timing of the project was made to coincide with the temporary closure of the NAS Archives home building for a comprehensive renovation project. The records would have had to go into off-site, inaccessible storage during that period anyway, so it was a matter of choosing one inconvenience over another. The inconvenience we chose would at least result in a digital copy of the collection and would, in the end, allow all three repositories to have access to the NAS collection, whether actually in our case or virtually in the cases of Houston and Japan. The ABCC Repositories Consortium is, we think, an effective way to exploit the ability of electronic communications to render spatial distances meaningless. For the NAS archives, at least, it represents not so much a radical break with precedents as it does the logical extension of what it was that brought us to establish a web presence in the first place.
I have a website I want to show you. So, if I can actually get it to work, it's always exciting. So at this stage, the consortium really has, this is sort of like the beta site, or this is a test. There's nothing like a professional meeting to get things focused and get a web designer to work for you, maybe. So that and buying them dinner. The web designer, Sandra Yates, at the Texas Medical Center Library put together quickly a website, and it's based on Tarot. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Tarot, Texas Archival Resources Online. This is like a blatant ripoff, really. But the nice thing about Tarot is, even to the name, this is, and the name is my own invention. It's the Japanese word for arrow, and it's so I take all responsibility for that. The nice thing about Tarot is that it's very clean, it's very simple, it's relatively low maintenance, and its purpose is to provide a place where finding aids can be found. So and searched. So in the case of Tarot, it's all finding aids related to institutions in Texas. So that seems to make sense for this site to have a collection of finding aids related to the Atomic Bomb Casualty Commission. There's one of the good things about this site is it's already starting. We've had it for like a week and a half, and it's starting to generate discussions about conceptual framework of our project. It's It's also encouraging discussion about workflow for metadata and images. And we're also starting to talk about documentation process. And we're also having discussions about the purpose for making records public and transparent. And the website is, you know, when we start to actually talk about how do you upload files, how do you download files, you know, how do you correct them, this is kind of helping us to focus because there's, a couple problems we have, three sort of areas. The issue of technology. The three institutions that are working on this project all have different standards for finding aids. So I come from an EAD camp, so I like EAD, and you know, I think everything should be sort of based on EAD, and Archivist Toolkit's great and all those great things. But in the case of working with Gakushwin University, they have one person who's really good at EAD, but he's struggling to turn that into a Japanese product because it's not readily available in that language. So, and the NAS does not use EAD. I think that's correct, isn't
it? That's correct.
Yes. So for a long time, I tried to, like, somehow figure out how to do it over the phone was to beat everybody into accepting EAD. And finally, I realized that really wasn't going to work. You know, the long distances, especially with talking to people in Japan through email, you know, it's, you don't get instant responses very rarely. So things work very slowly. So the solution really came to me in the last few weeks, the last couple months actually, was to just use PDFs. So we can create text searchable PDFs based on what all of us work with. So our standards can kind of, so we can have some commonality that we can upload on the website. But one thing we all do is we all use either DAX or ISADG. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that term. Yeah, some of you are. So it's, yeah, you taught me about it. So it's created by the, let's see if I get this right, the General International Standard Archival Description. It's created by the International Council on Archives, and basically it's aligned with EAD, so it uses the same elements. So in DAX or whether you use DAX or if you use just rely on ISADG, it's going to come out the same. You're basically going to have the same elements. So we've kind of overcome that standard hurdle for now. Another thing that's a problem is language, obviously, and the written languages are really the biggest issue. And then finally, I think the last thing is culture, which is not so obvious because with with technology and language, we can actually make an attempt to learn those. You know, so and that. Those are rather direct solutions. But culture is a different thing, and I think that the culture has been educational for me as an American that the Japanese don't always do things the way Americans do them, and but they get them done just as well. And so there's I've learned to be more accepting of less direct methods of getting things done. So it's been very educational for me, and it's a good process. So, but part of this website, part of this consortium, is learning to understand the other cultures. So I think what I'm going to do is just show you quickly what the website, what it looks like. You know, it's fairly simple. In the upper right-hand corner, there is a button for to go to a Japanese language site, which is not yet active. But we're trying to show that it's going to be a dual language site, just even on the English site, because we're having a little bit of Japanese, just to make Japanese users at least aware that it's going to be friendly to them. And basically what we say is when we say welcome to ARO, it also says welcome to RO in Japanese, so it's trying to be as friendly as possible. The list of repositories, this will give you an idea of kind of the finding aids we're dealing with. So the one, this is from mine, generated from one of my finding aids, and it's pretty much standard EAD kind of thing. You know, you can look at that. Probably a lot of you who use EAD can, you know, are comfortable looking at this. I mean, it's aligns pretty well with DAX. And then, the National Academy of Science Archives is also, which is three part because it's so big. You know, it's pretty standard also. This is, what we did was just took a Word document and created a PDF out of it and then made it text searchable. So these are all really, it's a really simple process to do. But now when Carly sent me her finding aid, my first thought was that I looked at it and then I closed it up and just didn't want to think about it anymore. So this is what she sent me, and it was on an Excel spreadsheet. But what I've learned, I mean, this is, she's using an international standard, and really this aligns with DAX very easily. It's just in a different format. And this is actually a finding aid for a collection that's at the Texas Medical Center Library. But the nice thing about this is someone, a Japanese researcher, can use this and learn about collections at our site at the Texas Medical Center Library, whereas if they go to one of my finding aids that's in English, they're going to be lost unless they're comfortable with English. So this is a really nice function. And it turns out that turning an Excel document into a text searchable document as a PDF is really easy. So the issue of using PDFs is just it's simple, it's clean, and it works. And so maybe we'll come up with a better standard or another way to do this in the future. But for right now, you know, we have something online, and it's okay. Now I have to say that this looks like a great has great search tools, but it's all dumb. There's nothing behind this at all. No database. That's going to come later. Basic information about Tarot, just so someone can get an idea of what the consortium's about, and the rest of it is pretty standard. So that's kind of where we are now, and hopefully maybe by next year we'll have something really snazzy and flashy, this is basically an under construction website, so without having the old-fashioned blinky lights from the 90s, but so that's kind of where we're at, and I'm done, and at this point I think we'll just open it up for questions if you have any. Yes.
Well, first I want to congratulate you on what had to be a very difficult project. Consortial arrangements, even with two libraries in the same city, are usually often enough of a problem, let alone in two different continents. But I do have a question. When do you expect the actual digitized images to be available, the documents?
Well, they finished all the filming of the NAS collection, but they're still doing quality control. So this is one of the questions, Steve, that Dan or Philip and Corey can answer better than I, because I'm just happy to have the record boxes back, and I can use the record boxes. So what, do you guys have a projected date for this?
Yes. Our fiscal year starts every year April. So after April, we received the images of the contract of this year. We split into three terms. And each term we have 45,454 images each year. And this year already we are receiving this.
the vendor in Virginia already shipped the last batch to us, and within 1 month we will have a quality check and give a feedback to them and to check all our comment, and then
and they will ultimately be available for the website you just showed us?
Yeah.
Oh, and one other question. How does HIPAA affect any of this, or does it?
How does what?
How does HIPAA affect?
Oh. Anybody want to take that one first, or?
Well, I was thinking about that, you know, because the Academy has.
Steve Novak has asked how HIPAA might affect any of this, and my answer is just for the Academy part, because I was thinking about that while Kyori and Philip were speaking. The ABCC collection that we have does not have patient files, and it does not have case studies. And I believe, but I am not sure, that these are still maintained by RERF, which is the actual body the Casualty Commission turned into, Radiation Effects Research Foundation in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So the Academy's records are administrative and programmatic, but not governed by HIPAA, the nature of what we have.
And I would just like to say that I'm not really certain how HIPAA is going to affect this. I have lots of pictures of patients or survivors. So, and they're obviously taken in a medical context. They're in Japan, so I don't know how the rules will apply. I have diaries where doctors refer to specific patients by name. But in the case of the diary, for instance, it's a to repress it in the name of HIPAA would be basically a great injustice, because the ABCC is not held in high regard overall in Japan. I think that would, is that generally accurate? And so they've been compared to the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, but in fact, the records I have seem to show that there was actually a lot of concern by the doctors, and so things like these diaries, which reflect personal feelings of doctors talking about patients, are not reflected in the official records. So it's complicated, and I certainly need to look into that. So.
Was this a U.S. government commission?
Yes. Oh, well, thank you. Okay, yes.
For those of you who are familiar with the National Research Council, we are a private, nonprofit corporation, I would say the majority of our work, 90% at least, is carried out contracts with government agencies. So the ABCC started as a presidential directive signed by Harry Truman, if I'm correct. I think we have someone from the Truman Library here. And it was started under the supreme command of the Allied powers, under the occupation government. But they quickly put it under the National Research Council so that it was being operated by an independent, you know, scientific body. It was funded by DOE, Department of Energy, and the I think there was NIH funding, but then eventually it became operated by the Japanese government, by their institutes of health, and there's still DOE funding, but it's no longer operated by the Academy. But when it was, from our end, it was not government operated, but it was government funded, if that distinction is satisfactory.
Yes.
Jeff, you mentioned trying to follow up with past ABCC researchers to see if you can track down other records. I'm looking at my own institutional context. We've got researchers who are taking all kinds of projects of that sort. Have you found that other, say, university archives might have faculty papers from past ABCC researchers, where you might have some other additional members of your consortium, or at least be able to get
right.
Work that's been done elsewhere already? Mm.
This is will be nice. A question to Philip.
Okay. We are open. We want to involve other institutions, and that's part of the reason we're doing this is to bring other people in. So, for example, I know Yale has, Michael Beck there has papers on, now I can't remember his name, George Darling. And he was the director of ABCC. So eventually we'd like to have, you know, those finding aids maybe as part of this consortium. And I know we'd be open to, if someone just has, you know, a small box or large collection, there's a lot of material out there. One thing about ABCC was staff would come in for like, it was common to do two-year rotations. So from 1946 to basically 1972, somewhere in there, they're doing these two-year rotations. And they're not just from the United States, but they're from Australia, India, England, and other places. So there's really a lot of papers out there. And part of this, the purpose of this is to pull those people out and get those collections together. Because for the Japanese, I think this is really, this is important to them in a way that most Americans cannot understand at all. So, you know, there's they need this information, especially after the Fukushima disaster. You know, they want this. This is the only way you can compare the effects of radiation with what's happening today. These collections were really important for understanding the effects of Chernobyl. So the ABCC RERF people were heavily involved in Chernobyl. So it just gets broader and broader and broader. And I think eventually probably, well, it's going to happen again. You know, it could be a nuclear war, could be another nuclear disaster like Fukushima or Chernobyl. It'll happen again, and the records need to be available. The more records available, the better. So I'll stop now. I guess that answered, did that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I was just kind of curious, you know, what the opportunity was to bring
another person. Lots of opportunity. Okay.
When the collection is available online or the finding aids are open, we will definitely post something to the listserv of the STHC, the Science, Technology, and Healthcare Roundtable. And if you are here, I assume that you're either interested in the subject or that you're from an STHC collecting repository. So I want to just give a pitch for STHC membership and involvement, and you can join the list. You can join the roundtable or the listserv from the SAA page. And Kaori and I looked at it at lunchtime because she just learned about STHC at this meeting. And you do not have to be a member of SAA to be a member of the roundtable and to subscribe to the listserv. And I have just found it really useful, supportive, and very delightful group of people to be associated with. So and we will announce to the listserv any initiatives that come out of this. So that'll flag them, I hope, for people who are a source of papers.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Kaori's presentation mentioned the involvement of the pathology. Will they be consortium
as well? Yes. We had a quite a good cooperation until last year, but you know the FIP discontinued last year, September, and we are not sure how what happened to their collections. Most of the collections concerning the ABCC activities already returned to Japanese institutions. But when we visited there again, they had the original accession numbers of the patient's dossier to paraffin blocks or jars of the tissues, etc. That must be a very important part of the research, the project object. But we are not sure how the AFIP collection will be available in the future for our consortium, and we are looking for the new connections.
So I'm just showing random pictures related to the ABCC in some way. So shots of Hiroshima or RARF. Radiation Effects Research Foundation is what the ABCC became, is now. And now it's mainly run by the Japanese with funding, some funding from the U.S. Any other questions? All right. Well, have a good day today. It's great weather outside. So thank you very much.